Your attention, please. Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
And Tony, since you're our resident swinger.
I'm not a swinger.
Did you just say that
I
he was our resident swinger?
Could you fix that, please?
And Chris Ello.
Some Italian people would say that's not really even Italian food.
I was just about to say.
Because real Italian pizza is just a thin slice.
Yes.
I just go crazy for a deep dish pizza.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
.405, Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. We get set for Chris versus the Fan. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. What's the prize today, Scraby?
We have tickets to see the Cubs and the Padres on September 11th.
So the Cubbies, the Pods, take care of business September 11th. Get on this line, be one of the contestants, so you have a shot to win those tickets coming up. Also, let me put a little period. Also, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called. If you hear it, call back. 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Dodgers on September 24th. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, including a trip to Legacy Stadium.
Yeah. Yes.
Got it right that time.
You got it.
Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar with stadium-style seating. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd. Nope, so let's try it again. Make sure you sign up at 973thefan.com/biggestfan to enter to win. Scraby!
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, the rules?
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question or win.
All right, let's get right to it. Evan in Fallbrook, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Hump Day.
Hump Day.
How's it going, guys?
It's going Evan. Well, here we go, Evan. First question. You know, with the signing of Ezekiel Elliott today to the Cowboys, I thought, what better question than what school, college, did Ezekiel Elliott attend? We're going to need an answer, Evan.
Oh, man, where did he go to school? He went to Ohio State.
Oh. The Ohio State will let that one ride.
Chris wanted a buzzer on
he
that
did
one.
He did want a buzzer. It was a long countdown.
Yeah.
Question number two. Oh, this is very specific. What Boston Celtics star rolled his ankle in Team USA's FIBA World Cup game earlier this week?
Jason Tatum.
Bam! That works. Nice work.
That was great.
All right.
Why was that great? He can read.
I mean, I didn't
There's
think
no way he typed that in
that
fast.
Yeah. No, he can read. He read the news in the last couple of days.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Well, I mean, he struggled with Ohio State. I thought there was no chance.
Here we go.
Evan.
Question number three, Evan. For the Dodger Padre tickets.
Cubs Padres.
Cubs Padres.
I was just reading another one. Which was the first African country to qualify for a World Cup?
I'll go with Ghana.
Ghana. Good guess.
It is a good
incorrect,
guess.
Though.
Chris, stay there, Evan.
How many countries are in Africa?
I don't know, like 70?
Lot. Yeah, at least. So this is pretty simple. Nigeria.
Another good guess. That is also incorrect.
Wow,
Evan, you are our winner. The correct answer is Egypt in 1934.
Oh, yes.
We
I
all remember that.
The Egyptian run of 34.
The Egyptian run.
All right, Evan, stay on the line. We'll get you those tickets, brother. Good work.
A lot of famous movies written about that particular.
Don't be mad you didn't know the question.
Well, I mean, come on. You come up with some crazy stuff. All right, that's good for Evan. Bad for the rest of the callers today because nobody else gets a crack at it, but Evan's got the tickets. He'll go see the Padres and the Cubs next Wednesday, a week from today. So.
Not the Dodgers, the Cubs. Sorry.
No, Dodgers is part of the other prize.
Yes.
We got some of that coming up. Padres and Diamondbacks tonight. Chris Paddock will be on the mound for San Diego.
Does that surprise you guys that he's still out there pitching?
Yes, it does. I have to say that. Otherwise, it'd be hypocritical. I thought they were going to shut him down after the Boston game 2.5 weeks ago when he got lit up. And he came back and pitched a great ball game his last time out. You know what I found interesting, though? Last night I'm watching the young guy, Balasar. I can't recall his name now. Bolaños. Making his debut. And he's pitching along nicely into the sixth inning, 88 pitches. And I'm thinking, why is he able to get into the sixth inning? And Joey Lucchesi and Lauer and the rest of these guys, they all struggle to get through five, six innings. This guy's making his major league debut, had good enough command to get through six solid innings. That was impressive to me last night. I mean, I know he lost the game 2-1, et cetera, but I think some of these other young pitchers can take a little page from his book because they have been struggling with these pitch counts all year long, and that's why they've been coming out of games so early. And he made a good, solid six in his debut. Nice work.
No, listen, they lost 2-1. That speaks to what you're talking about. I mean, regardless of whether he got the loss or not, he was a part of a pitching staff that held the Diamondbacks to 2 runs for 9 innings.
Yeah, the first two batters of the game scored.
Yeah, and that was it.
No one else. And Arizona's a pretty good hitting team. So good job. I think Bolaños deserves another opportunity. It was interesting to hear everybody talk about him last night. Everybody said, well, he has kind of a 93, 94-mile-an-hour fastball. Apparently not. He was throwing 98 almost the whole game. Yeah. So either he was just totally jacked up or he really can throw 98. And everybody said he had a minus curveball and a minus changeup and secondary pitches were not really plus pitches. And I was thinking to myself, how did he get promoted with not a good fastball and minus every other pitch? But you know what? He was 13-7 this year in single A and double A. And I think that too often we promote guys, not the Padres, but just baseball in general, football in general, et cetera. We promote guys and give opportunities to guys based on their, how fast they throw and the supposed quality of their pitches, rather than looking at just their results. Because this guy had good results this year. 13-7 is a good record and had a pretty good ERA and a good, walks to hits, innings pitch ratio, and gets into the big leagues and pitches a good ball game. I mean, you don't have to always have all the measurables to be successful.
And that the Padres have been doing this. I mean, they did it with Franmil Reyes. He was not a prospect by any means. They also did it with Kennedy last year, who was, I think he had like one loss in the minor leagues. He also came up. So you kind of need a combination of both. You want to see him perform well at the level, but also have at least some of those measurables. And
I know.
The kid last night, regardless of what the scouting report on him was, he didn't pitch to that scouting.
No,
report,
so. I mean, let's go with what he did, which was throw 97, 98 and throw strikes. He only walked a couple guys, pitched very well. So, I think you got to go with results sometimes a little bit more than you do with the measurables. And I think a lot of teams make those mistakes. But you know why they do it? Because if you have good measurables, and that's a general word that covers, how good your fastball is, your curveball, your command, et cetera. If you have good measurables and you don't do well, then it's your fault. If you don't have good measurables and you come up and you don't do well, then it's the team's fault for bringing you up, right? That's how it always seems to work. Well, hey, we brought him up because he's got all, he can run 4-4 in the 40, et cetera. So he should have done better than that. Teams want to protect themselves. All right, Mark Sweeney will join us when we come back. We'll talk some more Padre baseball with him. And that is to follow. Why are you pointing at Tony Gwynn Jr.? Is he on the show too?
That is also to follow. We got traffic? No traffic. All right. Stay tuned. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Gwynn and Chris, that's the name of the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Those are the hosts of the program. 97.3 The Fan. The location of the program. All right, I'm done with
that. It's like,
that.
Where are we going?
I'm done with that. 4:18, the time that the program is airing. Joining us from Arizona. Getting set to call a game tonight. We appreciate him taking a few minutes out of his preparation time, and always love having him on the program. Mark Sweeney here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Chris, T. Gwynn. I'm doing great. Sitting at Chase Field. It's a balmy 107 or 111.
Balmy.
If you like that. I heard it's raining in San Diego.
It's weird though. In San Diego. It's a balmy 107 here, too, but it's raining, so I don't quite know what's happening here. But
I don't even
we'll
know if they know what rain is here.
No.
In the Phoenix area?
No.
Yeah. They got the roof covered, I'm assuming.
They do. And artificial grass, which I think is a nice adjustment here at Chase Field.
That's a very nice touch.
It took them forever to figure that part out.
I know,
out.
Right? Kept on seeing them spray paint the grass before and try to make it look good. It wasn't really a good
I did not know all of this stuff. Yes. Was this always one of the most hated fields in baseball?
Well, I don't know if it was most hated, but if you got there in, like, after July, it's pretty much brown, so they got to spray paint it so that it looks green and it's presentable.
Tony knows this. Chris,
you come off the field and the bottom of your spikes are completely green.
Tony knows this too. When you had to take early batting practice, it was with the roof open.
Yes.
Because they had to grow the grass. So it really wasn't a very encouraging early work.
No.
But now they can keep it closed, and it feels good in here.
The Diamondbacks have arrived in the 21st century. Good for them. Mark, let me ask you straight up right off the bat, because I think this is the question that's on maybe more people's minds than anything. Ty France and or Luis Urias, and what's happening in the middle infield battle there. And I don't know if it's fair to call it a battle, but I think it's fair to at least question whether or not Ty France is putting a little pressure or a little question in the minds of the Padres executives as to whether or not he may have the future here.
Well, first off, I don't think it's a competition, because we heard Andy talk about it yesterday, where Urias is going to play predominantly a shortstop. So that tells me, and it probably tells Ty France, you're going to get the majority of playing time if you go out there and produce, and he has been doing that. Obviously, the two home run game, the three home runs in 2 days, always helps. But I think it's going to be one of these things. Andy Green said it yesterday in his press conference before the game, that you got to go out there and perform offensively, and that's going to get you more playing time. And Tony and I always know that. You have to produce, especially when you don't have consistent at-bats.
Sweeney, Ronald Bolaños yesterday pitched terrific, really, by all accounts. I mean, he gave up the first two guys in the order, scored, nothing else came across after that. What were your thoughts on Bolaños? Because we knew that he was supposedly supposed to be around 93, 94. He was better than that. His secondary was supposed to be below average. It was better than that. Is that a first start type of hype thing, or is this something that around the organization they kind of figured could happen?
Watching him work last night, I was encouraged. And why I say this is that I think we all assume that emotionally that first inning,
right,
if you get past it, I think it typically is much easier on some of the young pitchers. But you looked at his body of work. He pitched in traffic all night long and got out of it. Mm. And I think there were a lot of scenarios, especially when he had a guy on third base with two outs, him pitching out of it on a 3-2 count. The 75th pitch I read today was 99 miles an hour, and so you see a variance of the fastball, which young pitchers typically don't do that. It's usually red line, how hard can I throw, that scenario, and it didn't play out that way. I was really encouraged, very athletic. I said on our broadcast last night, which I think everyone likes to see comps and hear about comps, it looked like Edwin Jackson to me, a young Edwin Jackson. And it looked comfortable with the delivery, but also athletically, he looked good. His breaking ball, I think, took time, and I think maybe that was a little bit of emotion, but his breaking ball was better at the end of his outing than it was at the beginning.
Mark Sweeney on the SDCCU fan hotline down there in Arizona, cool and breezy, getting ready for the final game of the Padre-Diamondbacks series tonight. And also, we might point out, Mark Sweeney, part of the number one rated television broadcast crew in Major League Baseball. Congratulations on all that, Sween Dog, because that was fantastic.
Let's put a stamp on this. It's Mark Grant and Don Orsillo. I just fill in. I do my part, but congratulations to both of them. But
all
thank
right,
you.
But you're part of it, and you're getting some
We're
of
giving
the
you some love on it,
you're
too.
You're getting some Sweet. Of the
hey,
award.
Man, thank you very much, but we all know what the deal is.
I don't know the deal. I don't know the deal.
The deal is it's their game, and they're doing great at what they do.
Who are you also, you know, along with some of these young pitchers, is there anyone in particular you're looking forward to watching play in September? Somebody that maybe has a lot at stake in the month of September. Maybe Ty France was the answer to the question. We already talked about him. But anybody else that sticks out that you're saying, hey, I gotta see what this guy does here down the stretch?
I've always focused on the bullpen because I think that moving forward, and you would expect it to be an everyday guy, but it really isn't. It's the bullpen and how that matches up. I think Munoz is the guy I want to watch in high-leverage situations, and we've seen that. The last five outings he's had opportunities to pitch in some important innings, and we know Kirby Yates with 39 saves is going to lock down those last three outs. But there's important innings to pitch, along with Craig Stammen. And I like that the scenario of how they have nurtured him into his scenarios. Yes, you love the big fastball, but the slider is what's impressed me the most.
Swain, you know, next year the rules will change come this next September with the 40-man roster. How do you feel about the 40-man roster? You think this is going to be a good change, or do you like it the way it is?
I love the change coming, and why I'll say this. The Red Sox, for example, who have a competitive advantage because of payroll, because of opportunities, and also their 40-man typically are guys that are advanced. And why I say that, they have 36 guys of 40 on the roster up at the big league level, including 21 pitchers. Mm. So to me, that's overboard. It's a competitive advantage because they can do that. I don't think every organization can do that, even though they're allowed to. I don't think every organization financially and in a situation that they're ready to have 36 guys on a roster come up to the big leagues. I think the Dodgers are set in the National League, but I think those rules are changing, and I like that as well.
Now, sorry I wasn't up to date on this. What is going to change next year? Is it September you're not going to be able to have 40 players?
I think
players?
The number's 28.
28, yeah. That's it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So you get three extra guys from the normal 25.
I did not get that memo. They didn't send that through my office.
I mean, you got to check with your secretary.
You what, man. I'm going to be firing people left and right around here. Mark Sweeney is with us from Phoenix. Padres and Diamondbacks getting set tonight. I touched on Luis Urias earlier. Give me your thoughts on this young man as a player and just what you've really seen. We've had so many people comment about him one way or the other, and I feel like I don't really have a good sense, you know, on this young man. I don't want to give up on him too early. At the same time, I haven't yet seen what everybody tells me I'm going to see. What do you think?
On the eye test, Chris, it doesn't look like a confident player to me, and that's the toughest part of this game when you come up and you get opportunities in front of you. Showing that, being able to put your ability on the main stage, which is the big league level, to me, it doesn't look like he lacks a little bit of confidence, which hopefully this last month we can see more of it. He's going to get playing time. And I think at the this point, I think the organization would like to have him show confidence first defensively, but also offensively being able to handle certain parts of the strike zone, which I think is a work in play.
And I'm always asking about these kinds of players, but Hunter Renfro's been in a bit of a prolonged slump. I think the 31 home runs stand out as a fantastic number, but he's had that for a while. Is this just a slump, or have you seen anything different with Hunter? Is he pressing a little bit?
I would assume he's pressing a little bit because it's been a tough stretch, especially when you make that trade of Franmil Reyes, where you know you're going to get a bulk of playing time. This time of year, it's interesting because we have we step back and we watch the game, but we're not down there in the dugout. We're not there in the locker room. We don't know what's going on mentally, but also physically. So it's one of those things. To me, from the eye test again, I'm seeing a lot of swing and miss, and there's a lot of hitters counts that he's swinging and missing on. So that's something that could be mechanically, could be mentally, but it's been a challenge for Hunter Renfro since that trade of Reyes, and I hope that changes. That's one of those players that you want to watch finish off strong because that's what he did last year.
I agree with you. Mark, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Always fun having you on. Mark Sweeney on the SDCCU fan hotline there joining us. Talk a little Padre baseball. God, I really like Mark Sweeney, and I love what he does on the air. I love the insight that I get. And honestly, I feel like I know a lot about baseball going in, you know, but I feel like when I listen to Sweeney and Mudcat and Arcillo, I know more coming out of a broadcast. That's why they were rated the number one broadcast team. The way SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR, and low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. Can I just say one quick thing on Mark Sweeney also before we go to break?
Go for it.
If you are one of these people that lives on Twitter to only do one thing, and that is to bash everything an announcer says, go away.
Go away.
That's it. I have had it with picking up my Twitter feed and just reading bashing of our broadcasters in San Diego. And I know these guys are, you know, all right. I'm not, but we have good announcers here, and these guys, everybody, and that includes you, Tony, but everybody does a good job, and everybody will say something that maybe doesn't make perfect sense once in a while too.
It's pretty tired.
But my goodness, people, get a life out there on Twitter with all of these bashing of the announcers. All right, there, I said it.
Hey, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Get it off your chest. Attaboy.
Big Five next.
.436, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zello, Matt Scraby about to take over the show with a Big Five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
But first, Tony has a major announcement.
I was going to say, actually, it's not going to begin right now, because before we get to that, Elizabeth Brown, you are the biggest fan, our biggest fan, and you have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the San Diego Padres host the L.A. Dodgers on September 24th at 7:10 p.m. And be entered to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, including a trip to Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar. A restaurant with stadium seating featuring elevated Game Time Classic and gourmet options from Emeril Lagasse. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfans to enter. Scraby!
Yes, thank you very much. As you know, the Big Five is brought to you by Eco Water Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater water system that's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. All right, I think we got everything out of the way. Let's get to it, Thomas.
Number five. Dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite. If you have any big five topics, find me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby. Boston Celtics forward Jason Tatum will miss at least the next two World Cup games for Team USA with a sprained left ankle after turning the ankle in the final seconds of overtime in Team USA's 93-92 win over Turkey on Tuesday. After he was examined yesterday, they declared him out for at least 5 days and will reevaluate on Monday. So, Chris, with the NBA season less than 50 days away, should he stop playing for Team USA and focus on the NBA season?
If I was a Celtic fan, I would root for that, yeah. But I'm not, so I hope he plays. It seems to me Team USA needs every single person they can get in order to win this tournament. So I assume they're going to rush him back, not too early, but make sure he's healthy and get him back in a lineup. When does this tournament end? It seems like it's been going on for like 6 months already, but that was just all the preamble and the practices.
Trying to make the team first.
So now the tournament's finally underway. Okay. So they've played, what, two games?
Two games.
And if they don't win this team, this World Basketball Tournament, it's a national disaster.
I think, yes.
Usually
it's the way it's being treated.
It.
Yeah, yes. With basketball. But it isn't to me. These other countries are getting a lot better. But no, if I was a Celtic fan, I would root for Jason Tatum not to play anymore and be ready to go for my Celtics.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Do you think he should stop playing and focus on the NBA season?
No. Listen, man, you can't go out here playing scared or...
No, and I can't imagine he signed up to play in the team and then want to leave.
Right. I mean, listen, he's getting a chance to play for his country. That's something that clearly he wants to do. And... No, I don't think he should leave. I think he should, you know, ride out his commitment and get better after. I mean, it's an ankle sprain. We're acting like this is like he tore ligaments in his ankle. He sprained his ankle. They do that.
I do that every day.
I was about to say, it's likely they, as a basketball player, probably happens to him close to every day. So,
yeah.
Let that man finish out his USA games.
Do you, this is a bit of a loaded question. Do you think the players on the USA national basketball team feel a sense of patriotic pride putting on the USA uniform? Or is it more of a sense of, I made this team because I'm just one of the best players in the United States, and that is what makes me feel good about it?
I think there's plenty of guys that pulled out when they had the chance. I think the guys that are remaining, probably it's a little bit of both, right?
Okay.
You could say I'm one of the best. I clearly am. I made this USA squad, right?
Right.
But it's also a chance to wear that USA jersey in front of. And a lot of that has to do with watching games when you were younger, watching some of your idols put that same jersey on.
Michael Jordan wearing number 9.
Right, right. So
for the Olympic team.
I think that's a big deal, personally.
For the Olympics, I think it's a big deal. For the World Championships, doesn't quite carry the same weight in my mind.
Number 4.
I think we're all kind of tired of this Antonio Brown saga that has taken place over the last few months. You guys tired of it?
Nope.
Oh, wow. I thought you immediately would have said
love
yes.
Antonio Brown saga.
Tony, what do you think? Are you over it?
Yeah, I'm kind of over it, but you keep putting the questions in here. So, I mean, whose fault is this?
Yeah, you ask a question about it every day. So what choice do we have?
It's big news. I can't just ignore the big news.
Of course you can. Because it's not big.
Everybody is tired of the Antonio Brown saga. So here I come with another question.
The crazy part is it's not big news, but we keep talking about it, though.
Well, there was the cryo chamber incident where he got frostbitten feet and he couldn't practice for a while.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Then he was at odds with the NFL over a helmet he could use.
Not a big story.
He did that so he could not practice.
I saw on the NFL Network just a few minutes ago, he has settled on a helmet. that he will wear this
season. Again,
not
a big story. He was going to wear a helmet playing football. Guaranteed.
It's a zenith, if you guys care.
No, don't.
Well, this morning, AB decided he was going to share a letter he received from Raiders general manager Mike Mayock on Instagram. The letter was informing him the team fined him nearly $54,000 for mispractices and walkthroughs, which were considered unexcused absences. So AB posted a picture of it, then wrote this with it, quote, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear," end quote. I have no idea what that means. But, Tony, do you think AB plays the entire season with the Raiders?
Yes. Come on, guys. Y'all just need to think about
this. Don't say guys. Don't be lumping me in there with him.
I'm sorry, Chris. Yes. Do you know how much money is on the table?
It doesn't seem like he cares.
Oh, yeah. Because this whole helmet thing that he seemed to really care about vanished in a matter of days.
No, it didn't. It lasted weeks. And Tony just gave me the most eye roll of all eye roll looks.
You're
without eye rolling.
You're hating on AB because of what you've seen on Hard Knocks and what you've seen in the movie.
I like him in Hard Knocks.
In the media. But let's point out the segment in Hard Knocks where he goes to De La Salle High School and hangs out there all night for a football game and signs all kinds of shoes and poses for all kinds of photos. I mean, things that he didn't have to do. I don't know that Antonio Brown is just a bad guy. I think a lot of people are trying to portray him that way, and I don't think it's right. He's done some things that
he's a diva.
Have rubbed some people the wrong way. But yes, who isn't a diva that's a great wide receiver?
Thank you. That is where I get caught up because as long as I've been watching football, with the exception of maybe Jerry Rice, every receiver that's been good, and Larry Fitzgerald, I want to leave him in there too. Every single receiver has had diva moments or diva careers. There's no in between with wide receivers. You are either the Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald type, or you're the AB Randy Moss type. Like, there's no middle ground there.
Way more guys pulling phones out of goalposts and faking like they're playing golf in the end zone than there are guys who hand the ball to the official.
But why does that make it okay for us to just excuse Antonio Brown because he's acting like a receiver?
Is he hurting anybody?
He's hurting his team.
Oh, he is.
He is.
Okay. How do you know?
John Gruden might look like he's okay with all this on the outside. I guarantee you're assuming.
Number one.
And
number two.
You know
stuff.
What my dad used to tell me about when you assume?
No, you can't say that on the radio.
Okay. Number two, starting Monday night, he's probably going to be helping this team more than any other player on the squad.
I have no problems with Antonio Brown. I'm just saying you can't excuse a guy.
You sound like you got a lot of problems with
that. That would
Antonio
just be
Brown.
Like a coworker. Oh, he's a sales guy. That's why he acts that way. No, don't worry about
not
it.
Not even no, close.
Yes,
another
that is.
Terrible
that is.
Comparison.
No, that is exactly the same thing. You guys are saying that he's a wide receiver. That's why he acts that way. I'm saying.
No, we didn't say he's a wide receiver. That's why he acts that way. We said
he's not the only. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, throughout the history of the NFL, wide receivers have acted. So it's not a surprise. Didn't say that. He's a wide receiver. That's why he acts like that.
Thomas, are you going to back me up? Are you with them?
Hang on, Thomas, before you decide.
Yeah, go ahead. Get him, Chris.
What I wanted to just throw in there is the fact that almost all great players in any sport have diva tendencies.
I don't think that excuses it.
I do, because I think that you've got to have a certain amount of self-belief bordering on diva to be as good as somebody like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron
Maniacal.
James. You just have to. It almost goes with the territory. I just believe you have to think you are the world's greatest dancer to be Michael Jackson. You have to be the world's greatest actor to be Jack Nicholson. I think that a lot of us don't quite have that level of belief in ourselves and therefore don't reach that level of expertise.
I am a firm believer that it is a what's the word I'm looking for? It's one of those things where you are either that or you're not. Like there is, like I said, there's no in between. If you're that good, there's some characteristics that come with being that good.
I agree with that.
That may not coexist with regular
folks.
Peasants.
Just right. Say peasants.
I don't know. I'm not
Can
saying
we also
it.
Say one thing also on the same? The last thing I want to say is, and it just has to do with your dad, because your dad was good enough to act some type of way, as you like to say. But one of the reasons we loved him so dearly is that despite his brilliance at what he did, he still was down to earth and just one of the guys. But he is really one of the very few. So there.
Thomas, are you with them or are you with me?
What was the question?
Move on.
Number three.
The Aztecs football team is headed up to play UCLA at the Rose Bowl Saturday. And for everyone who didn't know, the game will be starting at 1:15 p.m., so a middle-of-the-day matchup with a high-profile team is in order for the Aztecs. And Chip Kelly, the head coach of UCLA, met with the media today and had this to say about head coach of the Aztecs, Rocky Long.
They're obviously, you know, Rocky's known for his defense, and they've been great on defense. You know, he's one of the gurus of defense at college football, and they've played great defense since he's been there, and will continue to play great defense. They did a great job last week. I think they held Weber State to 5 first downs for the entire game. So,
what was that at the end? I didn't hear that before.
Sounded like a car horn from the 1920s.
That does sound like that. So if you didn't hear, Chip Kelly called Rocky Long one of the best, or the defensive gurus of college football. So, Chris, do you agree or disagree that Rocky Long is a college football defensive guru?
I agree. And he made much of that guru-ness as the defensive coordinator of UCLA.
Yes.
Before he went on to become a head coach at New Mexico and now the Aztecs. Yes, I've talked football with Rocky Long and exclusively just mapped out defensive stuff with Rocky Long. And I learn so much, it's not even fun. So, yes, Rocky Long is one of the best. Does that mean he can shut down UCLA?
We'll see.
I hope that UCLA quarterback throws 8 for 26 again like he did in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Tony, do you agree or disagree that Rocky Long is a college football defensive guru?
I go along with that, for sure. I mean,
it's high praise from
he's done nothing but
coach.
Come to this university and turn this whole bad boy around. So, and largely on defense and running the ball. So, I can get on board with that for sure.
Number two.
Lonzo Ball is now playing for the Pelicans, and everyone knows about the big baller brand his father, LeVar Ball. Wow, I can't talk. LeVar Ball started. Well, here's a little story from Lonzo about the ZO2s he wore on the Lighthearted Pod talking about his shoes.
No one knows it, but Demo had a backpack, and he had extra, like, 4 pairs of shoes in there, because I had to switch them every quarter, so they would just rip.
I mean, that's, if I had to say, like, about the first two games, like, the real truth is, like, yo, the shoes just wasn't ready. So I'm like, I'm on the phone, like, when Alan was running everything, I'm like, yo, like, I'm not playing in them shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care, bro. He's like, all right, just switch every brand next every game. I'm like, all right, cool.
Wow.
So that's how that happened. Like, if you literally have my shoes from those games, like, they're just, like, exploded, bro.
Why did you wear them? Just because you guys said, like,
because they're my shoes.
And you're like,
I had to debut them. Like, we are
stir up the hype and
we went so far with it. I'm like, cool, I can get a quarter in, but that's it. You got to switch them every quarter. And it's crazy, right? When I switched my shoes, and all of a sudden, magically, I got good again. It was I never said nothing, but, you know, I'm lighthearted. You know, let's give y'all this.
That is the first time I've really heard Lonzo Ball talk, and he was really funny.
He was.
Yeah, and fun.
Which one was he?
He was the...
That's the one in NBA.
No, which one of those people talking was he?
He was the first one.
Okay, there were so many people talking.
The guy talking about his shoes, but... Lonzo was kind of throwing his dad's company, Big Baller Brand, under the bus there by saying it rips a bunch. So, Tony, will Lonzo getting out of his father's shadow translate to him being better on the court?
First, I think he was taking a shot at, I mean, he was a part of that company, too, so he was taking a shot at himself as well. And I thought it showed some humility, right? He was able to get on the air and talk about his shoes exploding and having to wear a new one every, you know, quarter because they weren't
that's
very good
crazy.
Shoes.
And they charged $500
that
for
is,
them.
That's the crazy part, is that they were charging as much as they were, and he knew that them shoes were worthless.
That's
basically
wrong. If you buy a $500 pair of shoes and it breaks after a week.
Right, but I think he does have a chance to be pretty good, because a lot of times what happened is, listen, Lonzo Ball is one of the rare athletes that gets a chance to play where he's from, drafted, like he's never had to leave home.
Mm-hmm.
And now he does. He's got to go to New Orleans and be off on his own. I think it's good for him. I think it will translate to him starting to show why he was the second pick overall. I've always been a big fan of Lonzo Ball. I think he can play, and I think he's gonna have a chance to get from under his dad's shadow and play the game of basketball and not have to worry about his dad.
Chris, what do you think? Will Alonzo getting out of his father's shadow translate to him being better on the court?
Man, I just don't think about Lonzo Ball.
I thought you were going to say something completely different.
Yeah, I think Tony's right. It can't hurt. I think it was a bad situation to me for him in Los Angeles with his dad overbearing on everything. But I also imagine his dad is not going to be completely silent now that he's in New Orleans. So Lonzo Ball, to me, shoot better, make a free throw once in a while, and then talk to me later about your shoes.
I'm a Lonzo Ball fan after that.
Okay.
Number one.
That is the most. I do not care about your opinion.
K. I don't like
Lonzo
Ball.
One letter.
If you like, if that was a text, it would be K with a period.
Not even the period.
It'd just be an open K.
Packers wide receiver Davante Adams was asked who he thought was the most important player on the Packers, and we all thought he would say Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, right? Well, he didn't. He said one of the guys that protects Aaron Rodgers is the most important guy on the team, tackle David Bakhtiari. So, Chris, is Davante Adams off, way off, or not off at all with his answer?
It's probably off. First of all, you do need to have somebody blocking
good offensive line
to give your quarterback time to throw, but I think even a bad offensive line, Aaron Rodgers has proven he can throw and still throw it better than just about anybody. So I disagree with Davante Adams, but I understand where he's trying to come from here. It all starts with the offensive line in football, for sure. But Aaron Rodgers is the most important Packer, and I think he's on the slide a little bit, and I think that's why I picked the Packers last this year.
You did. Tony, is Davante Adams off, way off, or not off at all with his comments?
You have to try to decipher why a wide receiver would not pick his quarterback in a question like this. And what my guess is that what's the offensive lineman's name?
Bakhtiari
is probably more of like a true team captain to the team.
He's
right?
Like the leader.
He's like, right. So obviously he goes down, Rodgers' blind side is wide open, right? So clearly that's a big deal. But I also think that he probably relates to his teammates a little better than Aaron. Aaron's a superstar of the team. You know?
I think everybody in the state of Wisconsin relates to his teammates better than Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has not been known as the best teammate.
Right.
Either.
So I mean that kind of makes me wonder a little bit about what's going on, but it's very easy to be able to get what you need done and not necessarily be best of friends and work. I think see it all the time.
Good. Yeah, big five, guys. I knew that was coming. I was trying to get through it.
Too easy of a softball.
Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
All right, that's the Big Five in the books. We're going to step away, pay some bills. When we come back, we'll reset. Padres taking on the Diamondbacks, 6:40 tonight. Padres trying to not even the series. They're trying to salvage the series, as Chris said earlier. We'll talk about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.